I invite everyone to open your Bible. Is that beep a good beep or fire alarm beep? Okay, good. I'm sorry, I need to ask. No problem. Let us open the Bible in Matthew chapter 14. I believe you have seen that the whole service, I mentioned John in our confession of faith. I mentioned John on our prayer because we are going to talk about the death of John the Baptist. The death of John the Baptist, John chapter 14. This story is also found in Mark chapter 6 and Luke chapter 9. I will mention Mark, I will mention Luke, but for the sake of time, we stick with Matthew, okay? The death of John the Baptist. I have here a very good phonetic play of words. Herod silences the herald, but cannot silence the kingdom. Okay? Herod tried to silence the herald, the prophet who introduced the Christ to all of us. If you know Jesus is the Christ, guess what? John introduced him to you. And Herod tried to silence this man, but he cannot silence the kingdom. Why? 2 years later, we are here proclaiming the kingdom. That was a good spot for amen. Amen. Let us read John chapter 14, verse 1. We're going to read all the way to verse 12. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus, and he said to his attendants, "This is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him." Now Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered him a prophet. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for them and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist." The king was distressed, but because of his oath and his dinner guests, he ordered that her request be granted and had John beheaded in prison. His head was brought in on a platter and given to the girl, who carried it to her mother. Verse 12, John's disciple came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. The death of John the Baptist. Everybody knows this story, church. And I think the first thing we need to know is why is this story here, which is our next slide. And it's easy, church, to understand this. We just came from local missions. The church, disciples of Christ, they have one job, being vocal Christians. They have a few rewards. Do you remember our last sermon? We talked about reward. Disciples of Christ, they have two rewards. One, it's bad. One, it's very good. You want to hear the bad first, right? That's the way we should do. Bad reward, persecution. Be sure people are going to resist you. Good reward in eternity. Good reward. That's the goal here, church. John the Baptist illustrates all of this. John preaches. John is persecution. John is beheaded. But he has his reward. In heaven, heaven knows his name. Today, we know his name. Today, you know, raise your hand if you know any John. Do you know any John? Raise your hand if you know any Herod. Maybe it's a male issue. Let me try the lady. Do you know any Herodias? No. John's reward is eternal, such as ours as well. That's the reason why this is here. So before we jump into the text, church, it is a famous story, but I do need to give you a little bit of context. I want to first show you the family. Meet the family. Meet the family. Herod family. Herod the Great, that was the man who asked all the kids under 2 years old to be killed. Why? He wants to kill one. Since he can't find that one, what does he do? Kill everybody. Nice to meet you. My name is Herod the Great. Second person you're going to meet, Herod Archelaus. We don't talk too much about him, church, because it's only once that the Bible mentions Herod Archelaus. He is the son of Herod the Great. And as Herod the Great was killing the kids, obviously, Joseph and Mary took baby Jesus and went to Egypt for safety. And they came back, right? So when, I don't know why I have the bottle in my hand. When he comes back, he knows that Archelaus is ruling. Archelaus was so bad. I'm going to say it again. So bad. I'm going to say it again. So bad that they didn't stay in Judea. Jesus went to Nazareth. That's why he's called Jesus of Nazareth. Okay? That's how bad this man was. And now the Herod of today, very nice. He divorced his wife and took his brother's wife. Nice family, right? Very, very beautiful family. And they are the rulers, church. They don't have all the power, but they have some power. And that's the next scenario I need you to see. And it's here in the slide. To summarize things to you, church, the Herod family had political legitimacy. They had no spiritual legitimacy. Yes, you can rule politically. No, you cannot rule. Why? Spiritually. I need you here, okay? I need you. God is the God of Abraham. God is the God of Isaac. God is the God of? Good. Herod is son of Esau. That's his inheritance. And you remember Esau, he lost his birthday rights. Jacob came and took it. Jacob came and took the blessing. That's why you know it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. So they have no spiritual authority to rule in Israel. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows this family is a family from Esau, not a family from Jacob. So the popularity of Herod was terrible. If he had to be voted, he would never be king. However, church, and that's maybe what I do need you to pay attention, the power of this family was so great. Even though they don't have spiritual approval, even though they don't have population approval, they were still kings. They were like puppets in the hands of the Romans, in the hands of Pontius Pilate, in the hands of Caesar. Nevertheless, nobody took them out. They were very influential. And I think the best way I can give you that scenario, it is Hamas in Palestine, Taliban in Afghanistan. Nobody likes them. Who is ruling? they are ruling. Why? They have a power that you and I, we can't understand. We can't untangle. We can't disarm them. They are so powerful. It's a tough scenario. Okay? Are you now in the shoes of John the Baptist? Okay. Now that you are in his shoes, let us act like him and let us understand this story. When you think about John the Baptist and this passage, there must be two pictures coming to your mind. First picture, it is the birthday cake. Because this is a celebration of life. And when it's a celebration of life, you're supposed to receive a cake. What was the kind of cake Herod received? A Halloween cake. The head, the blood, the smell. That wasn't the cake he received. He received something that I can't even show to you. It's too graphic. But think about that cake and pay attention on the light. Really pay attention on the light. We're going to need that information. The second thing you need to know before we jump into the text, it is the headline. I'm just trying to really be very contemporary. This situation here, church, for you and I, it sounds like a story. But you know that a month ago, one political Christian person was shot dead. Do you remember that? How long was he news for? Long time, short time? Short? Well, short, but it wasn't one day news. Was a week, 2 weeks news, right? Can you imagine if you read this headline? The political man nobody likes, the greatest prophet, okay? Breaking news, Herod Antipas orders beheading of political enemy. Was John the Baptist a politician? No. But because Herod hated him, he became an enemy. And prophet at birthday banquet. Controversial king kills John the Baptist. This would be news for the whole year. The greatest prophet. Everybody loves the man. Everybody hates the king. And the king beheads the man in his own birthday party. Not an occasion for that. Revolt, craziness. That's the feeling here in this text. So now that you are inside the text, let us see the text. Verse 3 and verse 4, church. We're going to talk first about John. John rebukes the king because he's a brave man. Here in the U.S. and here in Canada, we like our freedom of speech. John used his freedom of speech. What did the king do? The king oppressed the freedom of speech. You can't speak. You can't speak about me. If you speak about me, I throw you into the jail. That's signs of dictatorship. That signs that Herod is giving here. If you are for me, you can speak. If you are against me, you need to remain quiet. And this, church, sounds to us something we know we need to do. We need to preach the gospel. We need to be vocal Christian. You remember a few sermons ago, we talked about confession of faith. Confession of faith, it's not a one-time thing you do inside the church. Confession of faith is a life that you and I, we are vocal outside the world. That's what it means to be vocal. That's what it means to preach the gospel. John is doing that. And what I need you to pay attention, when you preach the gospel, there is two kinds of people. The people who will receive, the people who will not receive. When you preach the gospel, there is two kinds of people. The people who are nice. I don't agree with you. I don't believe the same thing you do. But life goes on. We can still go and have a good Tim Hortons, even though we have different beliefs. There is the other kind of people. People who are mean. That's the kind of people John the Baptist was preaching the gospel. He's preaching the gospel in a very tough scenario, against authority, knowing that his words would never be accepted. He could just remain quiet. No matter what I say, Herod won't believe. No matter what I say, Herod won't obey. I'm going to remain quiet. That's not what he did. Knowing Herod would not repent, knowing that it was challenging, dangerous, he still chose to be a vocal Christian. And that's our first application. It is in the bottom of the screen. Church, in a society where they tell you, don't talk about Jesus. Take prayer out of school. Take the Bible out of the school. In a society like this, it is the most important that we are vocal Christians. Please say amen. If you can't say amen here in a safe place, I doubt you can say amen outside. We need to be vocal Christians. That's what John is teaching us here. We don't deal with Herod's church. In Canada, people are nice. Canada, freedom of speech is something we esteem very high. So John teaches us and encourages us. We can preach the gospel. We can be vocal Christians. Second point. Now we're going to see Herod. We saw the preacher, now we're going to see the listener. And I do need you to pay attention to the slide there, church, with the application. Many admire truth, but resist transformation. Keep that in your mind. Luke chapter, Matthew chapter, chapter 14, verse 5 says this. Herod wanted to kill John. Okay? If you jump into Mark, Mark says Herod was afraid to kill John. If you read Mark, Mark says Herod liked to listen to John. Three different informations. He wants to kill, he's afraid of killing, he likes to listen to the prophet. How can you make sense of these different kinds of informations? Let us understand this. Did Herod want to kill John? Yes. He knows the people loves John. He knows the people hates him. Is it wise for him to kill John? No. Can he restrain John? Yes. Can he teach John a lesson? Yes, he can. He can throw him in jail. When he throws John in jail, he kills two rabbits with one shot. Two stones with one sling. Yeah. He silences the prophet and he silences the prophet and he teaches him a lesson. Don't speak what you want. Don't speak your mind. He does that. But what it's most interesting And what it's this application, it's very resonate with us, church. Herod was a confusing man because he likes to listen to John. What did John preach? You need to repent. You need to divorce. The day of the Lord is coming, and it's not Sunday. It is the day of the Lord when he's going to bring you into accountability. Who likes to listen to those things when you are in the wrong? Nobody. But Herod does. He's a very confusing man. Can you imagine? Just imagine. A visitor coming to the church and he doesn't like the preacher. He wants to kill the preacher. But he keeps coming every Sunday because he likes to listen to the guy he wants to kill. Can you imagine that? Confusing. Paranoia. Verse 1 and 2 tells you his mental condition. Verse 1 and verse 2. Herod, tormented by guilt, tormented by this birthday party that didn't go well, he thinks that John, that Jesus is the reincarnation of John. Crazy. Confusing. Herod is completely in paranoia. That's the confusing man. And the application we learn from Herod, church, people like to hear the gospel. People don't like to heed the gospel. I'll repeat that. People like to hear the gospel. People don't like to heed the gospel. I bet you know people like that. I bet if I give you 5 seconds, you're going to name 2 or 3. Listen to the gospel. Knows the Bible. Their lives are not transformed. That's what Herod teaches us that we should not do. We should be listeners of the word. We should be doers of the word. And that's the mad king. That's the paranoic Herod, the listener of John's message. And moving forward now, we're going to come to the half end of this sermon from verse 6 to 11. We're going to talk about Herodias. Because Matthew doesn't give you this information, church. Matthew relates this as just as like it is a birthday party. Verse 6, Herodias' daughter danced, and Herod was pleased, and therefore the birthday gift was John's head. That's the way Matthew presents this. But that's not the whole story. The whole story Mark teaches you, he says Herodias planned. Herodias hijacked the birthday party. It's no longer a birthday party. This is going to become a graveyard. I have one chance, and I'm going to take advantage. What is her chance? What is her opportunity? The king is drunk. And she uses her daughter. Her daughter makes a dance. The Bible doesn't tell you what kind of dance it is. But for sure, you know it's sensual dance. For sure you know. The king was pleased. Can I tell you a side note, church? The girl dancing was his stepdaughter. If he is married to the lady who divorced his brother and she has a daughter, that daughter becomes his stepdaughter. You see how crazy was his family? How crazy was his mind? Who gets pleased with that? Herodias used his drunkenness. Herodias used his sensuality, his lust, he makes a vow. Church, today, what do we do with our words? What do we do with our words? I'll call you. One week later, you guys come to me, Pastor, you didn't call me. I forgot. Sorry. That's what we do with our words. That's what we do with our promises. That's not the context of a vow. When you make a vow, church, you need to keep it. Whether you are Christian, whether you are pagan, whether you are a slave, whether you were herald, you made the vow, you kept the vow. She uses that. And now Herod is bound to the vow. There is only one way Herod gets off of that trap. Only one way. If he is brave, like John the Baptist, but he is not, and if he repents. None of those two characteristics is found in Herod. So what does he do? He loves power too much. He loves his reputation too much. He loves his family too much. He fulfills the vow. John is beheaded. And here it is, the theme of the sermon. Your reward is not in here, church. My reward is not in here. Our reward is in heaven. John's story doesn't finish on a platter. John's story doesn't finish on this ugly birthday party. John's story doesn't finish on the hands of Herod. John's story finishes in the hands of God. That's comforting. That's the idea here. That's the application. Which really leads us to the main important person ever, Jesus Christ. I want you to read with me verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Church, if you work in a nursing home, if you work in the hospital, if you work like a police officer, I have worked with people in the shelter, homeless people. Part of our job, it is cleanup. We need to spiritually clean up. Why? We see so much misery that we need to go to our own room, read our Bible, do our prayer, talk to our friend, talk to about something else. That's a clean up. It's just, I have seen so much misery. I need to clean up. What does Jesus do with this message? Church, John the Baptist was the prophet who baptized Jesus. He's the announcer of Jesus' ministry. Again, you know who Jesus is because John pointed to Jesus and said, I, John, need to go low. He, Jesus, needs to go up. He is the Christ. He is the light. I, John, baptize with water. He baptized with fire and the Holy Spirit. John meant a lot to the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Means a lot to us. As soon as Jesus gets that news, Jesus does a cleanup. Solitary, grieving, protecting his emotions, protecting his heart. And this is something we also can do. But also Jesus is protecting him from having the same fate John the Baptist had. If he stays around Herod, pay attention, church, common sense. Verse 1 and verse 2 tells you that Herod thinks that Jesus is John the Baptist 2.0. What did he do with John the Baptist 1.0? What did he do? Killed. What do you think Herod wants to do with Jesus? Common sense. And here it's where this sermon really leads to this very last statement. Can we go to the next one? John was not the head. Church, what I'm going to tell you here, it doesn't sound nice. But remember, your reward is in heaven, not in here. Do you remember that? Do you remember that's the message of this sermon? Why did John was beheaded? So that you and I, we know he wasn't the head. Jesus Christ is the head. Jesus Christ is the Savior. That's why John comes off the picture. Back in the days of Jesus, people were not sure who is the Savior. Is it John? Is it Jesus? Is it someone else? Is it a politician? Who is the Savior? People were confused. The moment John is beheaded, the way he was beheaded, the impact of everything he said about Jesus makes it very clear when Jesus goes to the cross, when Jesus dies, his death is sacrificial. Makes it very clear when Jesus raises from the third day, his death is the salvation and forgiveness of the world. John was never the head. Jesus Christ was the head. And we know that because of this birthday party. A very sad birthday party. But in God's hand, it makes very clear who is the Savior, who is the hope, who is the authority, who is the Christ, who you, who I need to put our faith in, not in John, but in Jesus. That's why. And if you see there is two verses that really describes to you who was John. He kept the faith all the way to the end. John chapter 3 verse 30, this is his own words. He must increase. He's talking about Jesus. I, John, I must decrease. I am not the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. I am not the head. Jesus is the head. And it's with that image, church, that we finish with a beautiful birthday cake. Only one light. Remember I told you to keep in mind the birthday cake? This story is not a nice story. Not a nice story. And the only way I can finish this sermon on a nice note, it is if I finish the way I'm going to finish. One light. The cake never came to the party. The head came to the party. Celebration of life never came to the party. Execution came to the party. But here is a poem for you, church, that tells you our rewards are eternal. Look at this poem. Who likes poem? Yeah. The room is filled with music and indulgence, but one candle stands apart, quiet in the prison. It simply shines. John is that candle. In Herod's feast, a place of compromise and moral decay, John stood as a lone light of truth. He didn't shout to be heard. He simply burned with conviction. And though the banquet swallowed him, his light was not extinguished. It became a beacon that pointed to Christ. The banquet ended. The music faded. But his light of truth kept burning. That's why you know so many Johns. Right, John? And you don't know many Harolds. Our reward is in heaven, church. And with a big amen, we conclude. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, what an inspiration we have in John. And what an assurance we have in you, who out of the ashes brings life. Our reward is in heaven, Lord. And we dearly look forward to it, Lord. Bless this congregation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.